We continue our learning. We're in Kalim, Perek Hey, Mishnah Gimel, Ateres Kira Tahora, the crown of a Kira. What is the crown of a Kira? We say it's Tahora, it's not Mekabel Tuma. So this is a rim that's attached to the roof of the Kira. This doesn't become, does not susceptible to Tuma because most people don't put rims on their Kiras. So if someone decided to do so, we don't consider this part of the Kli, and therefore it's not susceptible to Tuma. Tiras HaTanur. What's a tira, the Bar Tanura, what's a tira? This is obviously talking about a tanur, but it's something of the tanur, says the Bar Tanura, chatzer ha-tanur. It is the courtyard of a tanur. So you have a tanur, okay, made of earthenware, and there's something next to it. What is it? It's makom lifnei ha-tanur, mukof mechitzos, shenos nimbo alechem. It's a small box right next to the tanur. It's not attached, but it's right next to it, and it's surrounded by walls. That's where you put the bread, after we scrape it off the walls of the oven, you put it there. So you have your tanur, right next to it you have a box, really that's, or maybe three walls, or four walls, and it's right next, not attached, but right next to the tanur, where you're going to put the bread when you're finished. So that's called the tiras ha-tanur. So Mishnah says, if it's four tfachim high, so that has a great significance. We mentioned the four tfachim when it came to the tanur itself. So if this is four tfachim high, so it's going to become tamei with as a tanur normally loaded. So let's say you have a sheretz in its airspace, it will become tamei. A sheretz touches it, it will become tamei. Now, what's the chiddush of this? It looks like it is a kli. So the answer is, it's not necessarily a kli because it doesn't need a bottom, which means just like a tanur really shouldn't be a kli either. It's a tanur has open on top. We said that it's a narrow top. And the bottom, there's no bottom. The bottom is the ground. So why is a tanur mekabel tuma? Because a tanur is a tanur. It's an oven. It's a special, that's the way this kli is typically used. So the same thing would be true for this tiras ha-tanur, this courtyard of the tanur. It too, it may be a box without a bottom. It's just like three walls or four walls, but there's no top and there's no bottom. But since you're going to put the bread in there and the bread is going to sit on the floor in this little box, in this little chaser right next to the tanur, so and it's four tfachim high, so then it's going to be mitamei just like tanur is, both bimaga, if something tamei touches it, and bavir, if it's in its airspace. But if it's less than four tfachim high, then tahora. Then it's not a kabel tuma. It's not a kli. It's not considered like part of the tanur or a tanur in and of itself. So therefore, it's tahora. Im chubalo. But let's say now this little chatzer, this tiras ha-tanur, where you put the bread, is actually attached to the tanur. Now, it's not strongly attached. Afilu al shalosh avonim. Even if it needs three stones, it's on the ground. It's attached to the extent that if you pull away one of the stones, it's really going to fall off the tanur. So you glued it, let's say, to the tanur. Okay. And it's being supported on stones so that it looks like it stays on the tanur. You pull the stones away, it's going to fall off. So nonetheless, says the Mishnah, Tmeya. It's susceptible to tuma. It's considered part of the oven. It's attached to the oven. So therefore... it's going to be mekabel tuma, even though it's not four tfachim high, because it doesn't need to be the size of an oven on its own to be susceptible to tuma, because here it's part of the oven itself. Beis hapach. Beis hapach is a flask. So this is a holder where you could put a jar of oil. Why would you have what does it have to do with the tanur? So the answer is, it has something to do with the kira. Beis hapach is where it's a type of holder where you put oil if you want it to be warmed up next to the kira. Says the Bar Tanura, makom asui b'tzidi akira, the size of the kira, mashamicham, pachshem, and lafshir. You want it to get lukewarm, you put it there. Ubeis ha-tavlin, ubeis ha-ner. Or let's say you have a spice holder, or a beis ha-ner, a lamp holder, shebakira, all of these which are attached to the side of a kira, mitamin b'maga, but veina mitamin ba'avir. They will become tamei b'maga. That means, if let's say tuma, dead sheretz, touches the kira that they're attached to, so they become tamei as well, because the kira is tamei, they become tamei. But veina mitamin ba'avir, but that would mean if tuma would go into the airspace of the kira, so these, beis ha-tavlin, beis ha-ner, beis ha-pach, the oil flask holder, the spice holder, the lamp holder will not become tame from a source of tame that's only in the airspace. Why do we make a distinction between the airspace, tuma ba'avir, and tuma ba'maga? Tuma ba'maga, yes. The tuma source of tuma touches the kira, so these little holders become tame as well, which are attached to the kira. And yet, if the kira becomes tame through its airspace, these do not become tame. So the Baratuna explains like this. Im nitla sheretz ba'avir kira. Let's say a dead sheretz is hanging in the airspace of the kira. V'lo naga ba, but didn't touch these holders. Afal pishi tamea de klei cheretz mitame ba'avir. True, the klei cheretz is tame. Hein tor, and they remain tor. She'enam chibru lo elelinyan maga. We only consider the spice holder, the oil holder, oil flask holder, and the beis haner to be considered a chibur, an attachment to the kira, only with respect to tumav maga touching. Why? Because on a Torah level, these are really not considered attached to the tanur at all. So therefore, what did the Rabbanan do? The Rabbanan are the ones who made a decree that tuma should apply to these items, that once the kir becomes tame, these become tame, even though they're not considered a true attachment. The Avdu Rabbanan Hekera, very famous idea. The Chacham had to make some recognition. Deloli tamu ba'avir. In this case, to make a distinction between maga and avir, to show that in the airspace, the tumah will not apply to these items next to the kira. So we don't end up burning truma and karbanos based on this tumah. The halacha is if truma becomes tumah or kachim, karbanos become tumah, you have to burn them. So but you don't want to do that when the tumah is not d'oraisa, when the tumah is only d'rabanan. So in order to recognize that this tumah is only d'rabanan, we make a distinction between tumas maga, which we do give it, xera d'rabanan, but because that's what a normal attachment would be, but since it's not a real attachment on a d'oraisa level, we don't allow tumas avir to affect it, so that people recognize that tumas only d'rabanan and would not by mistake have truma or karbanos burnt if they became tame on this level of a d'rabanan, which of course we would not allow you to burn them if they became tame only d'rabanan. This is divrei Rabbi Meir. There it is, all Rabbi Meir's opinion, but Rabbi Shimon mitahir. Rabbi Shimon says the base pach for the oil, base atavlin for the spices, and the base haner to hold the lamp are tor, meaning they are not even midrabanan, even bimaga, even if the cube became tamei being touched by the inside. They not just bavir, it doesn't matter. There's no tuma here. There's no tuma derabanan at all. Perek Hey Mishnah Dal Tanu Shehu Sukh Me'achorav. Now we learn in Mishnah from this perek that you make a new tanur. So when is it acceptable to tuma? Only after you heated it to a particular temperature. Certain things are able to, the minimal temperature, able to cook something, able to bake something in it. There we spoke about the sufganin. So here the Mishnah says that tanur shehusak me'achorav. It's heated from the outside, which means where you put the fire? Next to the outside of the oven. And now you heated it to the temperature that it's able to bake these sufgan in. Osha husak shalolodart. So let's say you heat it on the inside, but the owner of this tanur didn't know that it was heated. Osha husak bevesa uman. Or let's say it was heated in the craftsman's house before it was even finished being made. Tamei. In all of these cases, it is susceptible to tuma. Once it hits that temperature that it's able to bake the sufgan in, which was that minimum temperature we spoke about, doesn't matter that it was shalola das, the owner, doesn't matter that it's me'acharav on the side, doesn't matter that it's in the beis ha'uman and it's not completed just yet. The uman, let's say, wanted to make it, we said minimum height is 4 tfachim. He wanted to make it 10 tfachim. It's not 10 tfachim just yet. Nonetheless, if it was heated, even the base of uman, even though it was not complete, if it's heated to that temperature, it is susceptible to tumah. And the Mishnah proves this. My session of Deleika B'Tanurei Kfar Signa, the case where there was a fire that broke out in the Tanure between the ovens of Kfar Signa, a certain place, a certain village. And these tanurim were still in they're still in the workshop. Still, the craftsman was still working on them. They were not complete. Uba Maisa Liavne, Vitiman Ram Gamliel. He said, Rabbi Gamliel was metamed. He says, these tanurim are susceptible to tumah. Because everything we discussed in the Mishnah happened in this case. Number one, where was the fire? It was outside the ovens. Number two, the owner didn't know about it at all. And the ovens were in the craftsman's house. They're still in the workshop, weren't finished. Nonetheless, they were heated to the minimum temperature based on this fire. Therefore, we see that tanur made out of cheres is susceptible to tumah as long as it has reached the temperature that it needs in order to bake something very simple, as we said, as the sufganin.